This episode of the Citadel Cafe is brought to you by listeners like you. Visit patreon.com/thecitadelcafe to find out how you can become a patron and help make this show possible. This is the Citadel Cafe, episode number 259 for Wednesday, January 31st, 2018. My name is Joel Duggan, and the Citadel Cafe is where my friends and I hang out to talk about the geeky stuff that we are into. Joining me tonight, Mr. Lou Page of Zombies Ate My Podcast and at Busy Zombie Lord, wherever you choose to hang your social media hat. Welcome back, Lou.
Thank you for having me again.
Hey, it's always a pleasure. We're doing a bit of a makeup week. I had some technical difficulties last week as I shake my fist at something. I'm not sure whether it's the router or the laptop, but something was not connecting to the internet, which makes it very difficult to do a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So I got frustrated and I bailed. And I thought, you know, rather than being in a bad mood and trying to do a podcast.
We had one of those last week as well. Ryan and I have been trying to pre-record some episodes that don't necessarily need to follow with the news.
Mm-hmm.
That we can drop in when we're going to miss an episode.
Oh, that's smart.
And we did that a couple weeks ago. He played They Are Billions. It's a zombie strategy game. It's like a StarCraft game with zombies.
Like an RTS?
It's like an RTS, but you're trying to build the base to protect against the horde of zombies coming. And it's really, really hard. So we got one copy from the developer, and so Ryan played that, and I watched him live stream it, and we discussed what we learned from it, what we appreciated from it, what we didn't appreciate it, and whatnot. And we recorded that a couple weeks ago, and last week it was same thing. It was technical difficulties. Everybody was kind of having a bad day, and we all said, we'll just throw up that episode that Ryan and I recorded a couple weeks ago. Don't worry about it.
One thing that we ran into a couple of weeks ago with Comics Coast to Coast, which is now we're attempting to do that live now on Twitch, because Brian's working on his Twitch content and stuff like that. And it's like, hey, well, I mean, we pretty much record live to hard drive anyway. So he's decided to put that up on Twitch. But the week before, he was troubleshooting and trying to take some stuff out. And what was nice is that we didn't have a guest on both occasions. So one thing that we don't do it on the Citadel Cafe because I've got rotating co-hosts, but because it's myself, Brian, and Matt every week. What we did that first week when we really didn't have a guest, we didn't have a topic, we got together, but we kind of just had like a state of the union, like kind of like a meeting. We don't do it often enough. Like we email back and forth and throw some thoughts here and there, but to sit down for the hour that you set aside for the podcast anyway, and sit and chat about like, what are we going to do this year? What kind of topics and guests do we want to try to get in the future? And it was super helpful, you know, to be able to sit down and talk about that kind of stuff. I mean, the Citadel Cafe is way more casual, so I don't think, you know, those kind of meetings really are needed. But if I had a regular show, like a third show where I had like the same co-host every day or every week and we were doing specific things or specific topics, then sometimes just skipping a week of producing content and planning the content instead goes a long way. Like I feel way more confident now because I'm the line producer for Comics Coast to Coast. I'm the one that emails guests and tries to line up the interviews and stuff. So already we've got a couple of guests that have replied and said yes. And, you know, like I'm emailing different people than I probably would have like before the meeting. So I find that kind of stuff, you know, really helpful. I mean, who knew planning could be so helpful?
Planning is helpful, and it also, you know, it just makes everything easier down the line.
Well, yeah.
When we don't plan for an episode and we improvise, those are usually our weakest episodes.
Yes. Yeah, no, I agree. And I've been involved with stuff where either I've been at the helm or other people have been at the helm that they're kind of shooting from the hip. And those are the podcasts where you're on the call for like an hour and 45 minutes because it's just not structured in any way. And
we're kind of probably going to do that tonight, but there's a lot of news. So rather than discussing what we were going to talk about, we're going to just talk about news headlines.
Right.
Because there's like 20 news headlines in the last couple of weeks. So.
Well, you know, you could do one for this week, and then to put the other news headlines in another episode. You know, get yourself ahead of the
True.
There's something I really enjoy about recording the podcast, you know, live to hard drive and getting it out that day or the next day. Now, it doesn't bode well for when things go sideways in life and you have to, you know, kind of scramble or skip a week. But to take a page from Hammond's book, who does Beyond the Playlist, he is recording, I want to say, 6 to 8 weeks ahead of time. He's probably even farther. But the last time I talked to him, I think he was a couple months ahead. So he's sitting down with these people that he schedules interviews with. Now, that's not live. Doesn't broadcast live. He does, you know, a lot of editing to the shows afterwards because they're pretty in-depth interviews. And the content is great, but he also has, you know, the ability to, like, you know, I've got Christmas with my family, but I'm still releasing a podcast every single week because he works that far ahead. And I used to do that with webcomics, same idea. You know, you build up a buffer, but at the same time, like, there'd be something where it would be topical to do a joke, you know?
Our plan going forward is, in the next couple of weeks, we're actually going to try and record a couple of audio commentary tracks for stuff that's on Netflix.
That's cool. That's a good idea.
So that when we do need to fill in space, there's a couple of movies that have been on Netflix for years that we haven't gotten around to watching or talking about.
Nice.
So the plan is to kind of watch one of those, throw an audio commentary track, and then in one of the weeks where we can't schedule, we can just throw in that audio commentary track. Mm.
Yeah, I've never done that. I've never sat down and watched a movie.
We've done about a dozen now.
Yeah.
And some are super fun because it's the dumbest movie you've ever seen and you spend the whole movie laughing and making jokes at the dumb special effects or things like that. And then some movies, like the last one we watched was, I think it was called Trash Zombies or something like that. It was on Amazon. And it looked like it was recorded on a budget of about $50. and it was like every bad special effect, like, oh yeah, I've seen this overlay from websites in 1995 and they're overlaying this fake fire over. Oh my God. Like we almost stopped the episode and stopped watching it. It was so bad.
And that's what I can't do. Like when I'm sitting down to watch a movie, I'm usually wanting to sit down and enjoy it. And if it's something I'm rewatching, it's because I enjoy it so much. I just want to shut off the world and get sucked into it. I don't like and cannot watch movies that are so bad that they're funny. It's like nails on a chalkboard for me.
It depends on the genre. It depends on if it was intentionally made to be that way.
Mm.
I find if they're intentionally made to be cheesy, there's about a 50-50 chance I'm going to hate it. If they were made to be serious, but somehow along the line, it really, you can't take any of it seriously. That's where I get a kick out of it.
Oh, okay.
Like stuff that was made in like the 50s and they thought they were making really good science fiction. And then all of a sudden you realize this dialogue means nothing, but boy, that guy's sure reading it like it means something. and things like that I appreciate.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, speaking of Netflix, what have you been diving into in the last little while?
I actually haven't been watching much of anything on Netflix, but the CW now has an app on my Roku box.
Okay.
So we've been staying up to date on most of our CW shows with the app. The only thing that stinks about the app is it only goes back to the last 5 episodes.
Mm.
So if you fall behind for like a month, no point in keeping up because you're going to be out of the loop.
Right.
And we've done that with, I think, Flash and Supergirl and Arrow, all 3. We watched the premieres and we were like, cool. And then we had to move into this house and
life happened.
Life happened and we fell like 4 or 5 episodes behind. It was like, oh, so we missed like 3 episodes, but the app won't let us go back that far. Never mind. But they've premiered their new show, Black Lightning, which just started this month.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been staying on top of that. And that does not take place inside the so-called Arrowverse.
Okay.
It is its own universe. There's talk that they're going to later find ways to tie it into Arrow and Supergirl the way they did Supergirl and Flash.
Well, and the DC TV universe has kind of set itself up for success in that way, in that they can throw something out there that is not related And if it is well received and does very well, then they say, well, he's on Earth, I don't know, insert Earth number 50 something here.
Yes.
And they can bring it in, because once you get into interdimensional travel in multiple Earths, like, you kind of can write your own rules.
Right. And I'll say, I was worried it was going to be bad, but this is definitely not marketing to the typical CW demographic. I can't remember the name of the character, except that his superhero name is Black Lightning. But he's an older guy, and he's a principal of a high school, and he was a hero. And he came home one night, and he almost didn't come home because he almost got killed. And he promised his wife he would stop being a hero, and he would focus on trying to change the community as a principal.
Right.
And basically, he's had blinders on. And the community has not gotten better. It has gotten worse. He's managed to save kids, but the community is way worse off than he thought. And then one of his kids gets taken by accident. They don't realize – nobody knows he's Black Lightning. But one of his daughters upsets a gang member, and she gets taken hostage, and he has to put the costume back on. And when he does – it's like the community is all excited because they're like, wait, he's going to save us from the bad guys like he did before. And he's like, no, not really. I don't really want to. And it's this begrudging hero that realizes he has to come back out of the shadows.
That's a more interesting take than I was expecting. And the reason why I actually tried to like where I brought up Netflix is that it's on Netflix in Canada.
Oh, okay.
CW must have that delayed release where it comes out on the network and then the next day you can watch that episode on Netflix. The good thing about that is that it's not a rotating five episodes. Like, as far as I can recall.
No, you guys probably get it all.
Yeah, when I used to watch the 100, you'd have to wait. Like, it wouldn't be out the same day it was on TV. Like, a Thursday night show would come out Friday night sort of idea. But once it was out, like, you could go back and watch the full season. I wish they would do that with Supergirl. Like Supergirl, you can go back and like, it's on Netflix, but you have to wait for the season to complete.
Yeah.
I also think that the season comes out on something like iTunes for a couple weeks before it hits Netflix, which is just, it's frustrating. Like you have to wait so long that at the point it's like, well, you know, hey, season 4 is going to start. I guess I should binge watch season 3 then it's on Netflix and try to catch up. Like I wish it was out a little bit more readily. As Netflix continues to increase their fees, not that it's a lot of money. It's currently $11 Canadian for a Netflix subscription right now, which is not bad. And that's a single screen or two screens? I can't remember. I think it's single screen.
You might have the two screen because I pay about the same and I get two screens.
Yeah. Well, I have it checked. I have the box checked for like, it's either single screen and HD, like up to 4K, or... Because I revisited it. When they changed the pricing, I went in and I revisited it because I previously had more than one screen for sure. But that I don't need that anymore. So I went in and said, all right, I'm recalling that I said, well, I'm changing my plan, but I'm keeping the price the same. And really, like, it went up from $9.99. Like, it went up by a dollar. You know, I don't care.
Right.
I watch it enough since it's my only form of streaming content other than YouTube. Like, as far as like major movies and television shows, you know, in terms of seasons, like that's my thing. But when I saw it, I watched the trailer. I think it was in my inbox just because, you know, I've watched The Defenders and Luke Cage. And so it came, it's like, hey, Joel, we added this thing that you might be looking forward to. And I watched the trailer and I thought it looked dumb. But they did not do a good job in the trailer of communicating the reluctant hero thing.
No, he doesn't want to be the hero. And they don't do a good job of explaining that to you in the trailer at all. And as soon as the episode begins, it begins with him in the suit and saving the day with somebody. But what you're supposed to realize is that was like 12 years ago.
Right. Okay.
And so then he ends up having to go out and do things again. And you realize they touch on a lot of things that they touched in Luke Cage. Like the cops, his best... Black Lightning's best friend or his neighbor is one of the police lieutenants. And he's constantly talking to the police lieutenant and being like, why aren't you cleaning up the streets? Why aren't you doing this? And he's like, my hands are tied. They've found a loophole. And he's like, your loopholes are dumb. I'm trying to get these kids educated so they can go out in the street and you're screwing it up. And the cop's like, what can I do? And it's you get the distinct opinion that somebody in the police department wants things to stay bad, but they haven't revealed that character yet. But they all the villains are mobsters. Like, he hasn't fought anybody with superpowers in any episode yet.
Can I put money on the fact that it's his best friend in the police force that's one of the bad guys?
No, actually, it's implied that it's not him, that he's just a guy collecting a paycheck.
Okay. It's one of those things where, you know, those kind of things show up, and when it's a CW show, you kind of like, all right, well, he's the bad guy. Or something, you know, something happens where you look at someone and you realize you've either seen them in something else. It's like it's a TV actor that maybe they don't have important roles, but they've been in multiple TV shows. And when you see them in a CW superhero show, you immediately think this is either the victim or the bad guy for this episode because they're a recognizable actor. And it sucks. I actually recognize, I don't remember his name, but the actor that plays Black Lightning in the show, he was in either, I want to say the OC, or I believe it was the basketball show from years ago. What was that called? One Tree Hill?
I think it was.
Yeah. So he reminds me of a character from One Tree Hill. Now, he's an okay actor. Like, I remember disliking his character in the show, but not because he's a bad actor. It was just a poorly written part.
I will say right now, he's probably the best actor in the show.
Okay.
What they reveal is, not to spoil the first episode, but what they reveal is that he has gifts and they don't tell you where they came from.
Oh, that was going to be my next question. Is like, is he like an Iron Man superhero or is he like a, no, he's got powers?
He has powers, but, his friend, who's played by the guy that played Dexter's dad, James Remar.
I didn't watch Dexter, but okay.
James Remar's in it, and he plays a guy who runs a suit-making company that makes, like, suits and ties.
Mm-hmm.
And he, in the back, used to be an engineer, and he's designed a suit that helps amplify his powers.
Okay.
And that's kind of the idea, and that's what they used to do. And as soon as he shows up at the suit guy, he's like, oh, great, you've decided to come out of retirement. You know, I've had many, many years to design many, many more suits for you. And he's like, I just need one. Shut up. You know, and their dialogue is great.
Right, yeah, like the old, you know, work buddy cop sort of stuff, yeah.
Yeah. And what you find out is that whatever gave him his powers may have carried over into his children.
Oh, interesting.
And at the end of the first episode, one of his daughters accidentally breaks a sink. Like, rips it out of the wall by accident.
Right.
And is like, oh, crap. And she doesn't know what's going on, and she doesn't know her dad's a superhero. Right. And so you're like, okay, this is definitely not something I have seen in a...
Yeah.
In a TV show about superheroes,
yeah, and that would be a fun that's those reveal conversations. No matter which superhero genre you're watching, it's always a fun moment when the non-super finds out that either one, someone that they are very close with, is super, or that they are super. You know, and it's that, you know, like you can see the teenagers being like, "We've got superpowers! This is amazing!" Meaning the parents are like, "No, it's not amazing."
Other thing that I will say they do well with his children is that one child is like in high school, and the other one is like college age, so they're not young children.
Mm.
So, like, everything in this show is not directed at, I think, the same. It's not being directed at high school kids.
Right.
It feels like it's being directed at the parents that have kids watching the CW.
Right. So it doesn't have Dawson's Creek syndrome where everybody's 14 and talks like they're 25.
Right.
Right. So because like the college kid would be 21 ish.
Yeah.
You know, like, in, you know, that kind of a thing. Like the kids are adults, essentially young adults, but adults. Yeah. No, that's cool. I feel like there was. I feel like there's an opportunity for Marvel to do, is this Marvel or DC? This is DC.
This is DC.
DC. I feel like there's an opportunity for Marvel to do something where they keep on failing terribly at making Fantastic Four movies.
Yeah.
And because of the whole Fox thing, and like, there's a bunch of stuff.
Well, that's gone now.
Yes, I know, because of the because of the Fox merger and whatnot. But what I think is, because, I mean, Fantastic Four, I'm not a big comic book reader, so people could argue me on this, but I don't feel like it has the same kind of cachet as Avengers and some of the other main characters that they've been making movies out of.
No, I've always felt it's really cheesy.
Yeah, which I think, and especially because the characters are, it's cheesy, but it's also complex.
Yeah.
And I feel like, especially because of technology these days and some of the special effects that you can get behind, I think the Fantastic Four would be a really fun Netflix series. Like,
yes.
Like not a movie, but like a series of like 10 or 13 episodes, you know, where they could have some fun. They could make them hour long or hour and a half, like whatever suits the stories. But instead of going serious and dark, like they tried to, well, they did with Daredevil, they could go the lighter side. Like they could really, I'm trying to think about a really good example that they could use that would, you know, like a superhero. Well, Thor, the Thor movies have definitely, you know, grown into having a sense of humor. I don't necessarily like the second Guardians of the Galaxy, but that kind of flavor and bright, colorful, like forget even the humor, but like even just the look of everything in Daredevil is like grim, right? Whereas the Fantastic Four, that to me has always been, in terms of the images that I've seen online, has always been closer to like Superman and Metropolis and bright colors and primaries and, you know, science and the future and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I feel like they could do some really fun stuff, especially with, you know, characters as charismatic as Johnny Storm and all that kind of thing. I really think that could be a good watchable Netflix series that is not on Netflix because, hey, that means that we can have adult content and not have to worry about, you know, being on network TV. I think they could approach it like just a really solid, almost a comedy.
Yeah. I think that's a good fit for it. I also think that it would be a good thing to have. It would fit really well into Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. as cameos.
Wow, yes.
Compared to other shows that kind of have a hard time fitting into Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is just tongue-in-cheek enough that you could make somebody like Mr. Fantastic show up and them all be like, what does he... What? Like, they would make jokes about it, you know?
Well, they're doing it in Flash with Plastic Man.
Are they? Okay.
Yeah.
Because I have not been watching much of this season, so...
So, I explained this last week. I've been rewatching Flash because I was watching the Supergirl crossover episodes around Christmas time. And there's all these characters in it that you don't know because, of course, I haven't been watching Flash this season. And they're really annoying, including the guy that plays Plastic Man. But it's annoying because it's a smack in the face. Like, you go from 0 to 60. Whereas... Yeah. If you watch the season, you get to know the character. I can't remember his name from the show, but the guy that plays him, that plays Plastic Man, like the character that they've written, he's an ex-cop, he's a private eye, but he's really full of himself. And so if that's all you see, you want to hit him over the head with a pool noodle. Like he's so annoying. But what you don't see, when you're dropping into the series is that like they've taken some time to develop him over the season. Not necessarily my favorite character, but at least now you know that, oh, he's like that kind of like on purpose. He's not written like that. Like he's actually a pretty normal individual that acts out like a douchebag because it's like his defense mechanism against failure and stuff. So like it's you have a little bit more tolerance for his wackiness then you're just like, oh god, what were you guys smoking when you wrote this character into the show,
right?
So it's hard to drop into Flash and like it. You kind of have to go back and watch it from the start of the season. But what there's one thing that they're doing really well is like his elasticity, like the special effects, because that's not just, you know, blurring Grant Gustin around the screen and making him look like he's going fast, you know, like there's some real special effects that have to happen there. And it's really well done. Like it's, you know, he does it in ways that you don't expect. And because he's a weird guy, he kind of does weird things. Like, I mean, Plastic Man is not exactly the coolest superhero anyway.
No.
You know, but so it's goofy, but it's goofy in a way that sort of works for the lighter way that they're presenting the Flash this season. I mean, not that Flash doesn't have its issues, but like it's worth seeing that kind of a character. And that's what kind of had me thinking the last couple of weeks of like, if they can do that, then I feel like, you know, maybe Netflix or one of these other, you know, one of these streaming services would be ready for a Fantastic Four show. My money is not on Netflix, but probably in whatever Disney streaming service comes out in the next couple of years, because I think Fantastic Four is not happening anytime soon, if it happens at all.
Right.
Yeah, because I think...
If Fantastic Four comes out as a movie, it will be after Avengers 4, because they've already filmed that and wrapped
up
that.
No, the Fantastic Four is going to be the post-Avengers thing. Whether it's a movie or TV show, it'll be like, well, that's done, but we don't want to leave these Marvel superhero moneymakers on the wayside. Like, we have to do something. And I feel by that point, you know, probably that Disney streaming service will be up and running. Just before we move on from Black Lightning, how many episodes are out now?
3 or 4.
Oh, wow. Okay, cool. So I've enjoyed
every episode.
Yeah, and people could dive in and get a feel for it rather than just like watching one and then having to wait.
Yeah.
Cool. Right on. I might have to check it out. I'm disappointed that the trailer did not communicate to me more.
The other thing I will say for the show is you actually get a sense that, not that he's in danger. When he's in the suit, you get this stereotypical, oh yeah, bullets are going to bounce off of him because the suit uses his electro power to be like a magnet and bounce them off. Okay, that's fine.
Nice.
You're like, okay. But there's some points where he's like out on the street, like trying to protect kids without his powers as the principal. And like guys pull guns on him. And you're like, you know, this could go really bad for him right now.
Mm.
And you actually do feel like, he is in kind of danger. Whereas sometimes with some of these CW shows, you just be like, yeah, the Flash is just going to dodge that.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I feel like one of the issues with Flash is that they've made Barry so fast in the Flash is that they're running into the Superman problem, where like one of the challenges with Superman and Supergirl really is that they're essentially indestructible and, you know, can beat anybody.
Right.
So the villains have to be
just as big.
Just as big, or attack them in ways that are not interesting for TV.
Yes.
For example, the Thinker in The Flash. Like, not that I want yet another speedster, right?
Right.
But I'd rather have Flash go up against somebody like Gorilla Grodd, because he's got a physical presence, but he's also got that mental telepathy and mind control thing. So that is really cool. And the Thinker, they've kind of morphed it to make him a little bit more threatening. But as far as action goes, it's not super thrilling. You know, it's like, great. So this guy is playing chess with everybody and Barry's running in circles. Like, this is not exactly exciting television. And because they've made Barry so fast, like, really anything that goes wrong, whether it's a bank robbery or whatever, like, even in the character dialogue, he's always like, I got this, it's no problem, zip, 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 zip. You know, and he's like, well,
yeah,
like, there's no real drama there if we know that Flash is going to save the day. Like, if you can move so fast that you can have a conversation with Iris and have no one else even perceive that you guys are having that conversation because it happens so fast, like, that to me is just like, okay, guys. So one of the things I really liked way back about the Superman animated series, they put limits on Superman.
Yeah.
They didn't necessarily spell it out for you, but he was doing something as simple as saving an airplane, and he had to try. Like, it wasn't like he just put his pinky finger underneath it and moved it. Like, he's got a bunch of stuff he has to consider. He's got other buildings. He doesn't want to rip the plane in half from the force, but he's also straining to stop it and lift it. Like, he can't just get underneath it and say, hi there, I'm here to save the day, and then off we go. Like, so you think, like, okay, well, that's just an airplane. If a villain like Lex Luthor drops something heavier on him, like, it's not that Superman is going to be beaten, but he's going to be busy for 5 minutes getting out of that situation, which it allows which puts in some drama. Like, okay, is Superman going to get out of it in time? Not is he, it's when is he, you know?
You're not worried about him dying, but you're worried about whether or not he's going to actually be able to save the day.
Right. You know, like, can he get out of it before the switch is flipped or the bomb goes off or whatever? I mean, ultimately he always does, but that's the fun of superheroes. But, you know, it's not unquestioned. It's like, ooh, geez. Because then it becomes like the excitement isn't like if, it's how. Like, how, like, what superpowers is and what combination of his intellect is Superman going to use to save the day, because he can't be in two places at once and all that kind of stuff. And they do that really well with Supergirl. Like, I feel like she relies on the team a lot, which is good. Like, there's got to be you know, she can't be in two places at once. So, you know, Alex is going to be somewhere to defuse a bomb while Supergirl keeps the bad guy busy. And like, so there's a real team effort to it, which I think is a nice dynamic too. As far as what I've been watching, I haven't really been watching much on Netflix. I've been trying to watch things and I've been bailing on them. Mm-hmm. I get about 15 or 20 minutes into something and realize like, I'm not really enjoying this. Or all of a sudden I'm like, crap, I'm texting on my phone or I'm on Instagram. And just like, I've tried to watch something and realized that I've spent 20 minutes watching it and then another 20 minutes with it on in the background while I've been surfing Instagram. Like, okay, if Instagram is more interesting than what I'm watching, it's not worth it. So something that I posted in the Discord last week, I think, was just a quick snap of my my watch list on Netflix, which I cut in half. Like I had almost 100 things on it, some of which had come back because like the license had returned to Netflix and was on my list.
I've been having that happen a lot lately. Yeah. Where all of a sudden I thought the list was like 60 or 70 and all of a sudden it's like, wait, I have 100 things here. Where did these all come from?
Exactly. And when my list hit the triple digits, it's like, okay, I am never going to watch all of this stuff. I mean, some of it is legit. Like I do want to watch it, but I'm just not in the right mood. Some of it is things that I've already seen and I just don't want to go hunting for them. Right. You know, like I keep a bookmark of Force Awakens and a couple of the Marvel movies, like just things that I want to watch just for like a feel good weekend. Like I keep them handy in the list. The rest of it is stuff that I have a legitimate interest in. And then some of them I want to say maybe, you know, less than 20% are things like, eh, that sounds okay. I've never heard of it, but I'll bookmark it because the chances of me finding it again are probably nil. So I'll just, you know, I'll leave it there. So I haven't found anything. I've been gradually removing things off the list. One thing that I watched and liked was Planet Earth 2, but it's not really something you can talk about on a podcast. Like it just, you know, it's awesome. You know, like it's very pretty. If you like nature documentaries, you'll like this, you know, but it's not really something that you can talk about at length on a podcast. So I've been returning to, some of the stuff that I've bookmarked and fallen very far behind on YouTube, which is a lot of the Minecrafters that I follow, which is really cool because then it's a non-decision. Like you're watching one 20-minute episode of someone doing a vanilla Let's Play and, you know, they've got 6 or 8 videos posted since the last time that you checked in with that particular channel. It's awesome because like, all right, well, what am I doing for dinner tonight? Well, I'm just going to watch more episodes.
There's 20 minutes or there's an hour depending on what you want to do.
And that's the thing, right? Which I really like because I have been really busy. So rather than trying to get into an hour long drama or something on Netflix, because I don't tend to like comedies. I've tried over and over again to get into small sitcoms that are 25 minutes, you know, on Netflix. And I just can't do it because most of them just don't appeal to me.
We have like maybe 2 or 3 sitcom-y shows we watch, but we don't even follow them like on a regular basis.
Yeah. You know, I feel like sometimes you can get into binging those or I also just find like, you know, as my moods have, been changing, it's quieter around here. I've been working a lot. It's winter time. Like there's not as much going outside. So like, I'm not really in the mood for lighthearted comedy. Like I don't mind sitting down and watching a decent drama. You know, but unfortunately the selection in Canada is like so much of it is just crime procedurals. And it's like, I just don't care, you know, because after a while they're all the same. So when I went out, I can't remember exactly how I found him. And I apologize. I meant to do this before the show. I meant to remind myself about his real name, but the screen handle is Pixel Riffs with no E. So PIXLRIFFS. I'm assuming his name was his handle was probably chosen when he went to go get stuff. And he says like, hey, my name is Pixel Riffs on his about page. So he doesn't even say, I want to say it might be Jeff. I'm sorry. I don't remember. He's mentioned it a couple times here and there. One thing that I really, really enjoy about his content is as I've been searching for additional Minecrafters or even just looking up information, like I want to know how to do X in Minecraft. The biggest crapshoot is trying to find a video with the information in it that you need that you can stand for more than 15 seconds.
Yeah.
There's a huge quantity of the material out there related to Minecraft that is obnoxious as all get out. This guy is the exact opposite. I want to say without really knowing that he's a bit older than the average Minecraft YouTuber. I don't mean by a lot. I mean by like 3 or 4 years. He strikes me as someone that's around 30. I could be wrong, but he just kind of has that maturity level. He could all just also just be a mature 25-year-old. I don't know. But he's just, he speaks slowly and clearly. He provides quality content. His videos are really good. Like, he does time lapses with shaders on, and he plays on servers that are slightly modded. I'm usually a vanilla Minecraft guy. When I started watching YouTube, I was looking more at learning from Minecrafters about the game that I was getting into. I'm not really learning so much anymore. A lot of what I do, I kind of know how to do. I'm more looking for creative inspiration by people that build things and do different, you know, use blocks in different ways or have different themes. But modded to me when I was learning was just like, well, this isn't the game that I'm playing. So when the fact that all the tools are different and all the rules are different, well, I'm not learning anything because I can't apply any of it. You know, or you just get jealous of like, oh, well, that's cool that you can build, you know, round things, but you know, because these blocks exist in the modded version. Well, I don't have those blocks, so then I can't, you know, I can't participate or learn along with you. But he plays on very slightly modded servers, which I find really cool. One of which is his multiplayer survival series called Decidedly Vanilla. It's not his series, but it's a series that he is participating in. It's the same idea as Hermitcraft that I've mentioned several times on the show, where it's a bunch of people that do YouTube content. They're all on a server together, and they're almost like a sort of a sister community to Hermitcraft, because Pixel Rifts does one of the videos for Hermitcraft, which is the weekly roundup, which is like a, hey, what happened? It's like a sports net, kind of like, hey, what happened on Hermitcraft this week? So he works on that with a couple of other people. So then they produce the same kind of content because they're all Hermitcraft fans, the people that are on the server. And I've seen things where he's interacted with other people. They've done joint videos. It's all very funny. They're all very lighthearted. They have great senses of humor. He's a really cool builder. He does a lot of kind of traditional, you know, wizard towery stuff and mushroom houses and things, but he's also kind of getting outside of the box. And right now in Decidedly Vanilla season 4, his builds have been inspired by Horizon Zero Dawn.
Yeah.
Which is an incredibly detailed sci-fi, you know, post-apocalyptic game. So to try and do stuff like that in Minecraft, where you're dealing with 1x1 meter blocks, is challenging to say the least. Something that I've found really interesting about his stuff is the scale at which he works. To me, I've always thought, man, that stuff looks so good, but it looks so big. But the way that he kind of puts things together has kind of changed my mind on, like, you know, when you build a windmill or you want to build like a 3-story house or something. And when he does these fancy roofs, to me, it always looks kind of over the top and like, God, that would be so big inside. But because of the way that he builds them, it doesn't feel like, you know, you're walking into a house that's too big for you, the character, because you as a character in Minecraft are roughly 2 meters tall, just a little bit less than that. So if you're building a house and the door is 5 meters tall, well, that doesn't make any sense. Like, you feel like you're walking into a giant's house, right? Because you can see some pretty amazing builds on creative mode because they're not taking the player scale into account, right? Anyway, he also does another series called Minecraft Harmony with another player named PythonGB, who is actually on Hermitcraft. And that is also really cool. And it actually has me more interested in modded Minecraft than I was at the beginning. Because I've sort of found myself being a fan of vanilla Minecraft. I like the original textures, like the original gameplay. I don't necessarily want all these kind of crazy rules. Because I didn't realize that you could have slightly modded. Not just like crazy other world. Like, it becomes another video game, you know, when people mod it. But it can also be just like just the same one tweaked. So he does this thing with PythonGB, who I've tried to watch on his own, and unfortunately he's just not my flavor for a lot of the reasons that we mentioned earlier. But when he's together with Pixel Rifts, it's a really chill stream. And it's cool to have two people doing a really laid-back stream because there's more to talk about because they talk to one another. So the person, like, when Pixel Rifts does an independent video, he's talking to you, the viewer, and there's only so much you can say as a monocast, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't have someone else talking back to you. It's why I like podcasting with people like you, is, you know, because we have a conversation. But with Python GB, it's like he takes Python down a couple of notches. So he's really mellow. And so yeah. Pixel Riffs and Python together on this harmony thing, they really do some fun stuff. And this is what kind of, it's awesome, but it kind of bugs me a little bit too. There's only a couple of mods on this harmony pack that they've got. Things like different water and different textures here and there. But the big one is called Biome Bundle. And it is a modification terrain generator for Minecraft that uses all the same blocks in Minecraft, changes a couple of colors, but really doesn't go too far outside the box. But it changes the way in which Minecraft creates biomes. So desert biome, forest, jungle, etc. And makes it a lot more realistic in terms of like where the rivers go, how the mountains form, how things happen, etc. They also go into some things a little bit more fantastic, like say floating islands or Avatar, like the James Cameron film.
Yeah, like I'm looking at screenshots of this and I can definitely see a difference.
Yeah, so I mean, I'll have a link in the show notes as well. And if you look at that and realize that this is just a tiny mod, like it's not something that changes the gameplay, it simply changes the way that Minecraft, when it makes a world, decides how those biomes are formed and how they interconnect with one another. That's it, right? With the addition of some custom structures. So like in Minecraft, there might be like 6 custom structures. In this, there's like 30 or 40 or 100 or something crazy. It just means that when you walk around a corner in these big endless worlds, that once you see a temple, you've seen them all in vanilla Minecraft. When you see temples in Biome Bundle, you're just like, oh, this is a different shape. It's the same style, but it's bigger. It's got smaller this, and does it have the same treasure in it? And it's so they're all different, which is really cool. And I might be speaking sideways here, but it doesn't sound to me that it's that hard for someone like, you know, for Microsoft and Mojang to implement this. Like you see this mod and you're like, how come Minecraft doesn't look like this now? Because it's amazing. Like it's really, really cool. And I'm not going to, because I don't have the time, but I almost want to start like my own playthrough of an individual, like a single player in this Biome Bundle. Like I downloaded it and I installed it just because I wanted to kind of fly around on my own just to kind of look at this stuff. And it is so much more enjoyable and so much more, what's the word I'm looking for? You just don't know what's around every corner.
Right.
You know, so every time you cross over a hill, you're like, oh, this is like, even if it's the exact same biome, you just don't know what kind of land features you're going to find. And it, like, to me, it was just eye-opening, and it's worth checking out. So the Harmony Minecraft series from Pixel Riffs is I almost start there, because that's how I started. And they are exploring this biome bundle together for the first time. So they're just as blown away as you are as a viewer, and you can tell the genuine surprise or excitement or dorky giggles when they find a pumpkin that's, you know, 2 stories tall. So, because it has that fantasy element to it. And they're like, what? There's a giant pumpkin over there. Like, does it have a face? And they end up turning it into their first house, right? Because it's like, well, why not? Like,
right.
And it's got that kind of fun, free, imaginative feel to it that you don't get when you've got like these YouTube videos from people that are like the beatbox dubstep intro that blows your eardrums out, posted by, you know, followed by the guy shouting, hey guys, hey guys, hey guys, you know, like 400 times. Like these guys are really, they really enjoy what they do, but they're much more my speed.
So yeah.
And why I wanted to bring it up is because as far as the Minecraft community goes, I think he's got something like 30,000 subscribers. It's not like a ton compared to other big Minecraft, you know, YouTubers that are into like the 6 figures and stuff like that. So if you're into Minecraft, if your kids maybe are into watching stuff like this, from what I can tell, all of his content is PG. I don't recall any language, but you know, I mean, obviously watch it first, but I'm pretty sure it's very mellow. But he's only got 30,000 subscribers. I think he deserves a lot more. Like he's doing such a good job and he's being so level-headed and responsible about what he's doing that I'm just surprised that he doesn't have more of a following.
Right. I find I have a hard time watching any kind of stream of a video game because I find I want to go play. I don't want to watch you wander around for an hour. I know how to do this stuff. Let me go play my game. I don't want to watch you play your game. Mm-hmm. So they have to have a really good personality. And my recent thing is I've bought a bunch of board games, and rather than trying to read all the rules where they get too complicated, a bunch of them say, hey, you can read this rule book or look up the video of somebody on YouTube, because that'll teach you how to play. Right. Like, I've actually had, it's written in the manual, go look up on YouTube. The problem is that when you look it up, some of the people that are reading the rule books, they feel they have to constantly, like, make jokes. And I'm like, no, stop making the joke. Just teach me how to play the game.
Yeah.
You can do that without making a wisecrack every like, other sentence.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't need to make me laugh all the time. Explain to me the rules. And if you want to make a crack, you know, as you're changing segments, that's fine. You know, but I don't need to hear a joke about zombie dogs because you just pulled out the zombie dog token. That's not
Well, and that's the thing. I think some people that are producing content like that are not confident enough in their own skills and their own personality. They feel like they have to put one on.
Yeah.
And I can see through it immediately. Because it's usually too showy. They you can tell it's not genuine because they find themselves at a loss for words, and then they start repeating themselves constantly because they can't think of anything to say in character. I've even watched a video, I'm not gonna say who it was from, but it was an answer to how do I become a YouTuber, because this person is very popular and they get that question a lot. And he actually recommended putting on like a persona and speaking like that. I was like, no, like, yes, you have to project. Like, you have to, like, it's no different than you and I being on a podcast together. Like, you can't use a lot of slurs and you have to watch that you're speaking clearly, but I don't talk any different to you than I do to my friend Peyton when I go for beer. Right. So that, like, that's a technical thing, but in terms of a creative thing, I don't put on a personality to be on a podcast. Like, that's not what people showed up for. And that's the thing is, like, if you're confident enough in yourself to just put it out there, which is what I feel like Pixelriss is like. Like, he's like, I'm cool. He's married. He does this part time. I can't remember what else he does for a living. I think he's like an editor or something, but he works from home as far as I can tell. And so, like, he gets some income from his YouTube and he puts a lot of time and effort into it. It's obviously his hobby turned, slight, income stream. And he just does it the only way he knows how, which is being himself, which is fantastic. And he never apologizes for it. He's like, yeah, so this is what I do and how I do it. And now, I can say that with any of these Minecraft YouTubers, if you watch like three or four of them in a row, you'll find that they end up repeating themselves because what they have done is recorded a video a week or two apart. But what you're doing is watching them back to back to back. And so I find that I can only watch one or two of them of anybody, doesn't matter who it is, before I start to pick up on all their little vocal kind of cues. And you're like, yeah, okay, this guy's starting to get on my nerves for no other reason than this is the third or fourth video that I've watched of him, not Pixelriss, but just kind of in general. And so it's nice. I also find that there's people that I really enjoy what they do in Minecraft, where like I'll see their builds or I'll see a little bit of a blink of what they guessed on another person's YouTube video. And then you go to watch their own stream and you're like, wow, okay, like it's like nails on a chalkboard. Like I just cannot either listen to them, or it's like herding cats. Like you're watching this person do a video and they can't keep the camera still, or it's like, I'm going to be sick, And you realize just how much of a perfect kind of like piece of the pie the YouTubers that you like, in terms of Minecraft, just specifically, like the YouTubers that I like fit a very, very narrow wedge, right? They all kind of have the same sort of speaking rate, presentation, quality of video. Like I'm very chill. I prefer chill stuff. I don't like the really manic stuff. And so when you flip to somebody that's really helter skelter, it's jarring. And it's like, wow, like they seem like a nice person. They do really cool stuff in Minecraft, but I can't watch their videos to save my life. And it's just, I hate that I can't, but it drives me crazy. It's like, I have to stop watching this or I'm not going to like you anymore.
Yeah. Like I said, I have a hard time watching other people play video games because they play so differently from myself.
Right.
And unless I'm learning something from watching you play, I don't want to watch you, you know, run, jump over the thing, and then shoot that guy in the head with pixel perfect precision mm-hmm. and win the match. That's not interesting to me. That goes, yep, you're really good at this game. Now I have no interest in playing the game. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I find the games that I'll watch that I get more enjoyment out of are bigger sandbox games. Like, I watched a lot of No Man's Sky because yep. I don't have access to it. And I thought, well, I'm really interested in this game, but I just, you know, so I found a couple of streamers, one of whom I still follow. And it was really cool. Like, he had a really good balance of playing the game, talking about it, joy of discovery. Like, he was really having a good time. And because it's one of those procedurally generated games, I didn't feel like I was spoiling anything if I ever decided to try it, because I'm not going to have the same experience as he did.
Yeah.
But if someone, like, I have zero interest in watching someone play Horizon Zero Dawn, because that is one thing that, again, I don't have access to, but I definitely feel like I would like that game a lot, and I would want to experience that all for myself, you know, without having already seen it on somebody else's screen. I think the issue that I have usually right now with streaming, I have a hard time finding a streamer where they're not constantly interrupting what they're doing to either thank somebody or talk to the chat room or plug subscriptions and stuff. So, like, I think one of the worst things, I mean, I say this being someone that only streams very, very seldom. I'm terrible at reading the chat because I get caught up in what I'm doing and I forget to do that. So like it's a pretty chill stream too. Like, I'm not really going out there for brownie points. Like, I'm just like, well, I'm playing, I might as well throw it up. It's more for the people that are in the Sizzle Cafe Discord community than anybody else. But I can't say that I understand, like, the depth at which streaming, you know, has, I guess, evolved into. But one of the things that I wish people would stop doing is having a reward of, like, when someone subscribes to you or when someone does X, you know, whether they become your Amazon Prime person, that you have to stop and then verbally thank them. Like, there's already something that bounces up on screen that tells me that, you know, Joe Schmo has subscribed to you for $4, whatever. It's like, awesome. I know that. I don't need you to tell me.
Right. I've tried to watch stuff like that, and it's not for me. I think maybe I was born at that wrong point where the streaming thing does not click with me. I've watched streams of, like, I used to play a ton of Hearthstone, and I would watch streams of somebody so that I could learn a tip or two.
Yeah.
But I've stopped playing Hearthstone because it's become pay to win.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion. I could get up to, like, class 10 or rank 10. And then once I get to rank 10, I'm fighting the same 7 decks.
Yeah.
And so you literally have to build your deck, and you know by third turn you're not going to win, and they're going to win. Or they know by third turn you're going to win, and then they just retire. They quit the game.
Right.
And it stopped being fun for me.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't played Hearthstone in ages. One thing that I do know, and I remember when I was playing, you know, early on for that too, checking out some streams, that I do like about it is that because it's a low action game, it's a lot easier for the streamer to be engaged. Like, I find that people that stream Hearthstone, for the most part, the people that, you know, a lot of the Frogpants community that I, you know, you and I would have been familiar with, like, they're very engaged because they have the time to talk to people about what they're going to do.
Right.
Because you're not, like, trying to get somebody in your crosshairs, you know. And that's even Minecraft. Like, I get concerned when I start having a conversation with somebody in the chat room, not because of any peril that I'm in, only because me sitting there and talking is kind of boring. So I have that issue where I'm okay. I can talk when I draw. I definitely get sucked into something if I'm challenged. Like, if I can't figure out how to get this pose right, then I find that I drift off a little bit. But with Minecraft, I do find it challenging to talk and build or talk and do something technical at the same time. I tend to talk more when I'm, like, walking between points and things like that. Or if I'm doing something large and mindless, you know, like you're filling in a giant space with bricks or something. And that, like, that I find is a little bit easier. But it's, I mean, I can't... I don't want to sound like I'm being overcritical of streaming either, because I'm obviously not good at it. I have maybe 11 Twitch subscribers. Like, it's it's not something I put a lot of time into.
I'm worse than you, man. I'm worse than you. Yeah. Don't worry about it.
But yeah, but there's things about, you know, watching some video games that I find really interesting. Obviously, I'm more interested when it's someone I know, like if it's Scott or Gretchen or like some people that I've interacted with online a fair bit when they're streaming, like, or if it's one of the Minecrafters that I follow, like when it's not a YouTube edited experience and it's just, you get to see them kind of walking around and doing all that kind of stuff. Like there's this one guy, Iskall, I can't remember his real name, but he is really funny. He's a very quirky individual and he talks a lot and he just says really silly things, like not bad. Just, he doesn't say stupid things, but he'll pick one little weird thing that happens in the game and he'll make a thing out of it. Like he made there's some sort of like play on words when he was streaming with Mumbo and he made a cactus and he called it Bumbo Cactoni just to be weird. And it has been like a meme for them for this entire season of Hermitcraft because it's just silly. It's a giant cactus with a sombrero on it. It's really ridiculous. But like now when he'll mention it in a stream, months later, it's funny to me because it's an in joke for his community. And so stuff like that, I find really interesting. But have you ever streamed video games? Like, do you stream yourself? Like aside from like charity stuff?
Not outside of charity stuff. I've tried it a couple times, but when I do it, I'm not interested in doing it with games that are popular. I'm digging out an old Super Nintendo game. And when you get that, you get somebody that pops in your chat room for about 2 minutes. They either make fun of you for the way you're playing the game or go, what the hell is this crap? And then they leave. And and I'm like, my taste is so different from the average person.
Yeah.
That's kind of a problem I have.
I've had a mix. I've had about a 50-50 split. Like I've got friends that come by. I've got friends that have wanted to play on the Sizzle Cafe Minecraft server but just haven't found the time yet. And they've never played Minecraft, so they come by to watch to see if it's something that they like. And, you know, they get excited and they ask questions and stuff like that. And then there's other people that come in and they spam it with some fake, I've donated blah, blah, blah to Joel Duggan on Twitch. And it's like, no, you haven't, because I have 11 subscribers. Like, you can't. Like, you know, like they're trolling me to see, you know, let's mess with the new guy, you know. And so that kind of stuff I've got no time for. And I've had one or two people over the course of the months that I've streamed be quite rude, but like, yeah, what, it's the internet, you know you're throwing spaghetti up against the wall and ultimately you're going to find some trolls, but it's fine. I'm lucky in the fact that the community that surrounds this podcast or my comic work or anything that I've done really has been small but very supportive, so I end up having a lot of positive experiences when I do live stuff.
Speaking of watching games, I did want to ask you one quick question.
Yeah.
Have you watched any of the Overwatch League?
I have not. And it's got no real basis other than I have never played a minute of Overwatch. I think the characters are really cool looking. Okay. I've watched, again, some friends play, and I can't get into it.
I am very casual in Overwatch. I jump in once or twice a month. I play a couple rounds and then I move on. I enjoy the game, but I have a friend who plays it 5 nights a week and he plays for 5 to 6 hours straight.
Wow.
And it is his thing. And he's also my friend I play a ton of board games with. And the other day, like a week or two ago when we were over there, he had the Overwatch League stream going. And it was fun to watch for about a half an hour. That was about all I could take out of it. And it was literally Blizzard. I don't know what they're doing, but it was an entire day of just Overwatch League matches.
I can't remember if it was either a tournament or if it was a launch event or something.
I think it was a tournament. And I was like, you know, they really should break these down into like, tonight we're going to do 2 matches. Or tonight we're going to do 3 matches. Don't do your whole all day stream. Like I can't imagine that someone watched all day long. It was killing me.
Yeah. I think, imagine the people that do watch all day are the people that are playing 5 hours a day, like your friend.
Yeah.
Whereas the people that are new to it or don't know what it is probably didn't watch that much. I can understand from a financial or a we need to see if this works kind of standpoint than wanting to do it just in one go. And then they can say, all right, well, that worked. And here's the feedback we got. And maybe we have to do smaller tournaments or lead up stuff, you know, like playoffs and things like that.
I will give them credit, though. Their announcers were fabulous.
I've heard nothing but good things. It's kind of leaked its way into, I can't remember what show it was. I think it was Current Geek. I was listening to Current Geek, and Scott Johnson was talking about it. And he was really, I mean, no, he's very into it. But he was saying that it was just very well done, like just well presented.
Yeah, there's nothing they say that you're confused by. They use simple language, you know, like when a character does something, they're not constantly dumbing things down to like explain it to the audience. They expect you to know the basics of the game or enough to figure out what's going on in the match. Yeah. The only thing I will say is I watched about 2 hours of it. In about 2 hours, I was getting tired of watching Seoul Korea win over and over and over again.
Yeah. Yeah.
There was literally like four matches in a row where they just shut out the other team.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, this is kind of not fun to watch.
Yeah, it's a delicate balance. It's the same reason why no one likes a complete trouncing for the Super Bowl. Right. I mean, like you want to watch a good game. You know, I remember even when I was big into basketball as a teenager, I was a Chicago Bulls fan. You know, I was a fan before they were champions and get to watch them, you know, become champions. But there was a while there where they were virtually unstoppable. Like their win record was insane. And you'd be watching the weekend game and you would be less excited if you knew that they were going up against some team that you knew that they were going to win against, and they would just destroy them. And it wasn't fun. Like it wasn't an interesting game. Whereas they would go up against Portland or, you know, Phoenix or the Knicks or the Celtics. And he's like, oh, wait a minute. Okay. This is going to be an actual game. Like this is going to be down to the third or fourth period. And those were way more fun. And because it's about competition, right? If you're just going in there and walking over everybody, then it's not fun. And I think too that it would be better, especially where Overwatch is starting off as a esports kind of like league and presentation, for them to have kind of some of those higher stakes nail biters, you know. So maybe now, you know, that we know who the powerhouses are, then the pairing in terms of, you know, competition will be a little bit more interesting to watch. You know, maybe you split up, you know, and see if there's two Korean teams that go at it. Cause then you're like, okay, well, if these guys are so good that they're trouncing everybody, what happens if you've got two teams from the same, you know, kind of ilk going at each other? And again, I'm speaking having never played, I've only ever watched a couple videos.
That was the other thing that I did find, I think is really appropriate with Overwatch is it's not just one country, like it's not the American League. There was a Canadian team. There was an American team. There's a Korean team. There's a London team.
Nice.
Like it definitely felt like there was a variety of locations. We weren't getting all just the same country.
Yeah. But I mean, that's cool. But I mean, obviously it's an international game. I mean, it's one of their most successful properties as far as I know.
Yep.
Now, I think one thing that I'm very, very drawn to is I just love the way that it looks. Not in-game, but just in terms of character design and the art and everything else, the art direction.
I just want more story.
Yeah, I agree. I kind of wish that they would end up doing some sort of like, you know, direct-to-Netflix cartoon or something, just because I think it would be really cool. But I mean, that, you know, I doubt it's going to happen. I really like the look of it. I've never had an opportunity to play. I'm not a big, I used to like playing first person shooters, but I'm not as big into them anymore. I mean, I can realize Minecraft is a first person game, but it is low intensity.
Yes.
it's very chill.
I am very much in the same bank as you with that. Yeah. I don't have the hand eye coordination anymore.
Well, and the problem that I have is I don't have the time to get good enough to have fun online. Like I am always going to be in the bottom of whatever bronze league is out there. And if I want to have good matches or play with friends that have more time, I have to dedicate time to get better. And I just don't have it consistently. Whereas with Minecraft, like I'm an artist. So right away, creating stuff out of nothing is right up my alley, you know, and there's a low skill set.
Like
there's once you can hit endgame in Minecraft pretty fast, and you know, not that we haven't beaten the dragon or anything on the Citadel, but like it's in terms of blocks, available, places gone, things to do. We're not running out, but we're running out of things that we have not done yet, you know, in terms of, you know, farms and buildings and things like that. And have I built something with this block? Well, yes, I have, you know. And so, you know, it's not as challenging like that anymore, but it's still just really, I'm going in kind of with all my faculties, having only played the game casually for a few months, right? Like, it's not like I had to practice hours and hours and hours. Now, I can still lose hours and hours and hours if I don't pay attention. Because, it's like nothing else. It's like when I sit down to draw for myself, like, I can be there for hours. Well, that brings us to the Internet Minute, where we recommend a couple of things to you guys. It's brought to you by Patreon. So if you like this podcast, if you've been enjoying it so far, head on over to patreon.com/thecitadelcafe by becoming a patron, pardon me. You can become part of the Discord server, which is something I mentioned earlier on. It's not just about Minecraft. We talk about all kinds of things. It's just kind of a small group of people that are supporting the Citadel Cafe, hanging out, talking about nerdy stuff. There is a Minecraft section, and there is the Minecraft Let's Play that happens. So that's all there. Not the Let's Play, the survival server, sorry. But it's a great way to support the show. It helps me keep the lights on, so to speak, as far as, you know, the internet, the website, the streaming, all that kind of stuff. So if you want to support the show, head over to patreon.com/thecitadelcafe. I have a very quick pick this week. It was originally in the reading section, but I wanted to bump it down here for the end of the show. That is, I have finished the book that I had mentioned earlier this year. It's Pilot X by Tom Merritt. It is really, really fun. I had mentioned, I think, that I had started it, and it was just a real treat to read a book written by a friend.
Yeah.
I can say, without any bias, it's a really good book. Like, and I don't want to sound like I'm surprised. It's just, it's a good, light, accessible sci-fi read. And
it's on my list of things to pick up from my Kindle.
Dude, like, it is really, really worth it. And you can go to tommerrittbooks.com to buy your copy. I believe that's the website. Yes. And two R's and two T's in Merritt. But the way that Tom writes dialogue and the way that he approaches a time travel sci-fi story, especially for someone that doesn't like Doctor Who, me.
Yeah.
It's not overly complicated. It's funny in the right places and kind of pokes fun at, like, you know, the old Star Trek time travel tropes that, you know, you end up watching the same 15 minutes of the show over and over again. There's some high concepts, but they're explained in very accessible ways. Like, it's really, really fun. And of course the main character is very, very appealing. Pilot X by Tom Merritt. I highly recommend it. It was a wonderful read. So what has been on your plate?
I have two quick ones. There is a new Humble Bundle for their book selection. They've been doing book selections for a while now, and it's cookbooks.
Oh, cool.
They're calling it the Sue Geek Cookbook Bundle this week. And they have Eat Like a Rockstar, more than 100 recipes from Rock and Roll's Greatest. Do You Know Your Muffin Pan?
nice.
They have a Wizard's Cookbook, an astronaut's cookbook with recipes from actual astronauts, some recipes from medieval feasts. Like, there's a whole bunch of stuff in here. And I have it on a watch list. I'm going to pick it up before it goes. I'm just waiting for my next payday. But literally, there's baking so that you can make the Wizard's Cookbook. There's simple things like how to cook with a pressure cooker or how to cook with an air fryer, nice. Stuff like that. It's all neat ideas, and you get them all in PDF form.
That's really cool. Because ultimately, the problem as a publisher that I know is that when you're ordering one or two books, shipping becomes a real problem in terms of what you see on the website versus what you end up paying in the end. But the fact that they're all PDFs, that's awesome.
Yeah. And that's my first one. And then the second one is, if you haven't seen it, Ant-Man and Wasp trailer showed up yesterday. It's really good.
I saw that it was out. I was on my phone, which is a little SE, so I didn't watch it. I was waiting to get back to my computer, and I haven't gotten around to it yet. But
I'm interested in the where it's taking the characters this time.
Cool.
It sounds like Ant-Man's in a lot of trouble after the last Avengers movie. I mean, after Captain America.
Yeah, and I have to go back and watch Ant-Man. I remember liking it. Everything except for the villain.
I'm not gonna lie. The villain's kind of weak, but the storytelling that they're doing and the setup that they're doing with him, it's very different from the rest of the Marvel Universe, and I really appreciated it.
Yeah.
Like, it's funny and high concept, but they dumb the high concept down enough to just be silly.
Yeah. I really enjoyed Ant-Man as a member of the team in Captain America Civil War versus Ant-Man. The whole movie's about Ant-Man.
Yes.
I find him a better kind of like...
And from this trailer, I get the distinct impression this is going to be more about the Wasp than it is Ant-Man. And that's okay.
Mm. Yeah. They got good actors. I mean, like, I like Paul Rudd in a lot of things that he does. And Evangeline Lilly, that's the girl that plays...
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, she's fantastic.
So, if you haven't watched it, watch it. It's cool. Good.
Well, that is the end of this episode of The Citadel Cafe. You can visit thecitadelcafe.com for notes and all the things that Lou and I have talked about. The music for the show was composed by Kevin MacLeod. You can email the show at thecitadelcafe@gmail.com or find us on social media with just the show name. My name is Joel Duggan. You can find everything that I am up to online at joelduggan.com. My commission list is now open again. I'm just finishing off one last thing today and tomorrow, and then I'm able to take on some more stuff. So if you want to get some artwork from me, head on over to joelduggan.com and drop me a line. What else is going on? Comics Coast to Coast. We are interviewing Abnormal this week, and that should be fun. Potentially live on Twitch this Friday on a special record night to accommodate for O's schedule, so check that out too. Beyond that, it's just my name. Twitter is Joel Duggan, Instagram Joel Duggan. It's just, you know, I'm easy to find. Lou, where can people find you and the things that you do online?
The easiest place to find me is at my podcast, Zombies Ate My Podcast. We put up a show almost every week. We're trying to get better at that. And you can also find me on all social media under the name Busy Zombie Lord. So that's the easiest way to find me.
You've been listening to The Citadel Cafe, where we are fast, easy, and cheap, but you can only pick two.